We're gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
Pain in the Morning, June 12th, Friday. Little Jerry Reed kicking things off. Bandit. Somebody who I respect today. Called me the Bandit. The journalism bandit sneaking in and getting scoops. So, as a fan of Jerry Reed's career and all the songs, he's famous songs he's written, you don't even know that he's behind some of the best songs that you know about and you've heard from other performers. So, and his performance in The Water Boy is classic too. But Smokey and the Bandit, of course. But we'll kick things off with that. And a lot of fun. Hey, we have a new addition here. We got the playlist. People requested a playlist. So that's on, we're including that on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. When we put up the link to the video podcast every day that you get on there when you sign up. You get the playlist on Spotify, Thomas Paine Podcast playlist for the episode. And I'm getting a lot of good reviews about that, which is of course, good. I like picking out music, and we like picking out music, and music definitely adds to things. It's been a crazy week, hasn't it? I mean, and there's no end in sight. It appears that it's going to continue to be crazy as we move on here in the news. And no big surprise, but personally, it's been a hell of a roller coaster week for me with a lot of things going on. And we'll talk about that at a later date as I get more perspective as time goes on with personal events that many of you are aware of. And we appreciate, and I appreciate the nice gestures and the notes and the sentiments. It means a lot to me. So, man, these first idiots here. First headline. And I did the plugs already. Patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. Really can't emphasize enough our appreciation on there, because that's really keeping us eastbound and down. pedal to the metal. So we appreciate it. And if you want an ad-free experience on there, along with the playlist now and everything else we're doing on there, more Pain Show and scoops, inside intel when I get it, it goes there first. So we appreciate it. First headline. Thank God it's Friday, huh? Seattle autonomous zone has armed guards, local businesses being threatened with extortion. How about these dopes in Atlanta? Not Atlanta. It was dopes down there too, but these dopes in Seattle. I got some thoughts on that after the story, but they took over. They took over a whole. It's. Even make it up. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, right? We're stuck in the middle with these fucks. Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. Seattle police say they have received reports of armed guards and potential extortion in a self-declared autonomous zone that spans several blocks and includes a now-closed precinct, police precinct. We've heard, anecdotally, reports of citizens and businesses being asked to pay a fee to operate within this area. This is the crime of extortion. If anyone has been subjected to this, we need them to call 911. Assistant Chief of Police Deanna Nolette said on Wednesday. Hey, Assistant Chief of Police Deanna Nolette, why don't you just shut these fuckers down? Why do people have to call 911? Isn't taking over a city street by terrorists a violation in itself? Or are you going to write these guys a citation for jaywalking, you fucking dummy? And these guys are out of control. If they've harassed any citizens while they took over parts of the city illegally, let us know. This is bullshit. I mean, they took over the police precinct. This might be an indication that you have some legal leverage over them, Deanna. Jesus. How do these people get promoted? That's for not pain in the morning. That's for pain after dark. The seemingly abandoned East Precinct Station of the Seattle Police Department is covered in a tarp, declaring it property of the Seattle people. Protesters declared a cop-free zone following days of demonstrations in response to the police-involved death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Protesters calling to defund the police and make sweeping reforms to law enforcement tactics have declared a six-block region spanning 17th Avenue past 11th Avenue. They call it the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, or CHAZ. Chaz. Yeah, something ain't right, all right, brother. There's a lot of things that ain't right. The Chaz Zone. Should be called Spaz Zone. Have you seen some of these guys? The region encompasses the SPD's East Precinct. That's an acronym for Seattle Police Department, which was abandoned by cops on Monday following days of violent clashes between law enforcement. Yeah, call 911 if you have a problem so the police can fucking run away.
This is Assistant Chief of Police Deanna Nolette. If you have a problem and these guys are heating up in this area, let us know so we can tell the police to get the hell out of that area too. I only would appreciate it.
Is that called community policing when the community tells the police to get the hell out of the community? What? Officers retreated from the area in an effort to quell the violence, which included multiple shootings, one that was sparked after a man rammed his vehicle into a crowd of protesters. Police officers have deployed tear gas and pepper spray to disperse large groups of people when they're not running away. Speaking on the condition of anonymity, because they are not authorized to discuss the unfolding situation, an official said some people living in the area, which includes numerous bars, restaurants, businesses, and private residences, have been begging for help because they are not being allowed into their homes without ID. But make sure you call 911. Tell them that stuff. Here's this dingbat. Police dummy.
No one at these checkpoints has the legal authority to demand identification from anyone. We ask if anyone is subjected to these demands to call 911 to report the incident. So we can tell the police who are running away to do something about these people as soon as they, you know. Maybe we'll send them something in the mail, you know. Some coupons or something, you know, something. A 10% coupon to pay their fine.
Well, Washington...
While Washington is an open carry state, there is no legal right for those arms to be used to intimidate community members, she told Como News.
Nolet also added that they are aware of threats to burn down the East Precinct, which she said would endanger residents, firefighters, and business. This bird brain is going to take over for Smokey the Bear.
Fire could endanger people. It could also endanger firefighters.
What comic book did they get this bird brain out of? The police department is looking to start negotiations with the leaders of the protest movement to gain access to the police precinct, but are unsure of who is leading the demonstrations. Well, sounds like it's time to bring in Mayor Wilson Good. G-O-O-D-E. Good. He left off the last E for, I don't know. I think Cindy Harry starts with I, but Inferno with an E. Wilson Good in Philly would take care of these guys. There wouldn't be any negotiations. There'd be a lot of firefighters, though, I'll tell you that. 1985, Mayor Good, Democrat. Google that, kids. You want to get an eye opener. The police are looking.
The police are looking to start negotiations with these people. As soon as we can get them more information from our residents, 911, make sure that they're, we have enough to go against. Trying to build a case against these people who are terrorists. We're not sure if we have enough.
Within the blocked region, in the blockaded region, occupiers have set up tents, painted murals, and have music playing from speakers throughout the night. Somebody say music? Speakers throughout the night? This is what I would be playing if I was the police. I was the police. I play a little whipping post on there. Let them know what's going to come in their way. You want some music, motherfuckers? You keep playing the Allman Brothers. This is... They keep playing the Allman Brothers. We can't take it anymore. Please. Give these soy lattes some fucking Southern rock. Watch their heads spin. Whipping post. They'd be tied to a whipping post if they're in Philly. One resident in the area told police that they were tents lining my streets, barricades littered throughout the intersection by protesters and civilians walking around with AR-15s. And the noise has not stopped. This guy, this resident, right now, should call 911. This is bullshit. Report this. This is, the police don't know about this. They need your tips. The tip line. McGruff the crime dog is standing by. He too is cowering in the corner like the police. One of the perceived leaders of the movement, Raz Simone, tweeted a response to Trump on Wednesday, decrying that he is not a terrorist warlord. No, that's nice.
The president really put a hit on my head. I'm not a terrorist warlord. Quit spreading that false narrative, Simone tweeted. The world has never been ready for a strong black man. Well, we have been peaceful and nothing else. If I die, don't let it be in vain.
Why are these guys still there? The police are going to negotiate? It's amazing. Maria Albanese today. God bless her. She always strikes to the heart of the matter. I got something from her, and she said, you know, she's talking about Waco. These guys barreling into Waco and Ruby Ridge. And I was talking to other people about And the Bundys, she mentioned the Bundys, how the feds come in and they take over, you know, these people are a danger, but most of them, most of them are just like, hey, pretty laid back until people start messing with them. If you look at the feds, like kind of poke a stick at these people and then things kind of unfold and unwind and become unruly. But, who would have known? I mean, David Koresh, if he just had gone to Sears and bought some skinny black tough skins for all of his people and black hoodies and passed out meth to everybody, bing, bang, boom. Too, he could have saved a lot of money on food and law enforcement wouldn't have messed with him. They would be negotiating with them. It's a bunch of twerps. Bunch of twerps and tweakers to take over a city, right? Why are these guys, number one, I'm not going to say it, I'll get in trouble. I would definitely get in trouble, but that's okay. I've said my piece with that so far. It's really incredible. Think about that. They're negotiating with these people. Law and order, right? What happened to us? Anybody know? There's no law and order. We know that. The inmates are running the asylum. New headline. Having some fun yet? We're having some fun. It's Friday. I'm in a better mood today. I wasn't in a bad mood yesterday. I was just drained. It's a long day. I don't think we started taping until 1:30 in the morning, almost 2 in the morning. It's just one of those days. But doing better today, and that's the way it works. You build day by day, baby steps on different things. I'll tell you one thing. It hit me a lot worse than I thought it would have. I got fucking leveled, and I didn't see that coming. I did not see that coming. That's surprising. I'll talk about more about that at another time. I don't want to bring the mood down midstream here, but I'm just saying, I was surprised. I was really surprised. How New York's coronavirus response made the pandemic worse. You know what? I think we'll go back to... Oh, here's a song I picked up for. Perfect song. Cuomo. What a chain of fools, right? Cuomo and de Blasio. These guys should trademark chain of fools. If these idiots opened up a restaurant franchise, it would be called Chain of Fools. It's worse than that. It should be called Chain of Criminals. They should be in fucking chains. A chain gang. Chain gang of fools. New York leaders faced an unanticipated crisis as the new coronavirus overwhelmed the nation's largest city. Their response was marred by missed warning signs and policies that many healthcare workers say put residents at greater risk and led to unnecessary deaths. In the first few days of March, Governor Andrew Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio assured New Yorkers things were under control. Fucking Alexander Haig. Everything's under control. Don't worry about it. I'm in control. On March 2nd, Mr. de Blasio tweeted that people should go see a movie. I'm in control. Go to the movies, everybody. couple weeks, there'll be no more movies. So get there and see a movie now. New York's state's death toll of 30,500 accounted for 7% of the world's deaths and 27% of American deaths as of June 11th. Yeah, this fucking chain of fools. Thanks for screwing up the entire country and basically we were locked down. The entire country was locked down because of New York. So thanks a lot. It's nice that your entire life can be derailed by some fucking assholes. Wall Street Journal talked to nearly 90 frontline doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, hospital administrators, and government officials and reviewed emails, legal documents, and memos to analyze what went wrong. Among the missteps. No, I'm going back to this one. We'll just play it low. I like the chain of fools in the background. Play it low. Among the missteps they identify: improper patient transfers. Some patients were too sick to have been transferred between hospitals, but it happened anyway. Squabbling between the Cuomo, should be called not Cuomo, but Coma, and de Blasio administrations contributed to an uncoordinated effort. You put two idiots in the same room, it's like putting two squirrels in a burlap sack. They're rustling around. Nothing gets done. Throw some food in the burlap sack and watch these two dummies. Insufficient isolation protocols. Hospitals often mixed infected patients with uninfected patients early on, and the virus spread to non-COVID-19 units. Don't worry. They had an entire chain of hospitals that went unused that they built at millions of dollars of cost to the taxpayer, you, not New York, you, federal taxpayer. Remember they brought the ship in from the Navy? Like 15 people went to the ship for medical care? These dingbats. It's worse than being a dingbat. They're criminals. Inadequate staff planning. Hospitals added hundreds of intensive care beds, but not always enough trained staff, leading to improper treatments and overlooked patients dying alone. Mixed messages. State, city government, and hospital officials kept shifting guidelines about when exposed and ill frontline workers should return to work. Over-reliance on government sources for key equipment. Hospitals turned to the state and federal government for hundreds of ventilators, but many were faulty or inadequate. And the ones that were working killed people. It's insane. You have an 85% mortality rate when people went on a ventilator. Pretty good indication that, hey, I don't want to be on a fucking ventilator. Okay? Remember Cuomo? We need more ventilators. We haven't killed enough people here. You know what we're going to do? We're going to send some old folks with COVID-19 to nursing homes and long-term care facilities. That'll fix their ass. We'll show them. Try to go to a hospital and tell us you're sick in New York. Don't pull that shit with us. We'll kill you. I'm laughing. It's insane. I have to laugh. People say, I am not listening to you anymore. And because you are twisted. You laugh at the worst times. I'm sorry. It's an insanity laugh. You have to laugh at this. I have to laugh at this stuff. What else can you do? If you take it all like to heart, I'd have a stroke at my desk in 2 days. I think there's a lot of people out there that think that we out here can change something really fast. Not happening. Stuff's way out of our control. So in that case, and many times you have to let go and just shake your head at it and chuckle. That's what I'm doing here on a regular basis. When I'm not banging my head on my microphone. Procurement planning gaps. While leaders focused attention on procuring ventilators, hospitals didn't always provide for adequate supplies of critical resources, including oxygen, vital sign monitors, and dialysis machines. But meanwhile, they threw Samaritan's Purse Hospital out of New York.
We don't want those Christians in the Central Park. Those bastards came here. They set up their own hospital. And it was affiliated with another hospital, yeah, but they don't support gay rights. Oh, we want them the hell out of here. Get out of our city, you Christians. Try to help our friends here. Try to help people in this place. We don't want your help, zealots.
And then people are dying, and they throw a field hospital out because they have some beef with something that they did. Like, they weren't even in New York. They didn't say anything. Like, and we looked at some old newspaper articles about Billy Graham and his son, Franklin Graham. Get these guys the hell out of here. Go back to South Carolina, North Carolina, wherever you hillbillies are from. And take your free medical care with you. You can't fix stupid. Incomplete staff protection policies. Many hospitals provided staff with insufficient protection equipment and testing. One planning lapse showed up in improper patient transfers. More than 1,600 largely COVID-19 patients in two of the state's largest hospital systems were moved from overloaded hospitals to ones less hit. Some patients arrived in worse condition than when they left, sometimes without names and treatment information, no bracelets on them. People didn't know who the hell they were, with no medical records, no medical charts. should we play Chain of Fools again? Let's keep it on a loop. That's going to be the state song in New York. Under normal protocol, only stable patients typically would be transferred. But these people came in with one foot in the grave, said Dr. David Buazjavili, who worked many shifts at Bellevue Hospital, part of the city's public system, NYC Health Plus Hospitals. On one shift there, he was alarmed to see 10 new transfers in beds with little medical information. He said that's not how it should be done, and it is not safe for the patient at all. Hey, these guys are doing really bad. Get them out of here. Send them to another hospital. What about the medical records? That's just what they'll be expecting at Bellevue. That's just what they'll be expecting. Let's make it a challenge for these guys. These guys think they're hot shit over at Bellevue, huh? Send these fucking guys over here. No medical records. We'll see how hot these guys are. Uh-huh. A bunch of Ivy League guys. We'll see, pal. I went to medical school in Grenada, you son of a... It's insane. A contributing factor was New York leaders' delayed reaction. Early signs of the virus's arrival, including a rise in patients with flu-like symptoms visiting hospitals, went largely uninvestigated by hospital, state, and city officials. The city health department was limiting testing primarily to travelers from China. Following the federal government's lead, throughout February, in calls with hospitals, the city health department played down possibility that the virus could spread through the air or by asymptomatic people. Remember this bird brain? The health chief in New York City, like around St. Patrick's Day, she did a press conference with de Blasio. She's like,
it's okay to get on the subway and it's okay to go out on the bars for St. Patrick's Day.
I said right away, she's setting up the mix. She's setting up the Irish. How dare her? Sure as shit. While leaders in states like California and Ohio acted quickly to contain the spread, Cuomo and de Blasio delayed taking measures to close the state and the city, even as the number of cases swelled. Despite warnings from doctors, nurses, and school teachers, California issued a statewide lockdown with 1,005 cases as of March 19th. It's the same time frame. Same St. Patrick's Day. Go out to the bars and enjoy yourself, you filthy Irish bastards. Two Italians, de Blasio and Cuomo. I think this was a plot against the Irish. Okay. While New York remained open with 5,700 cases at the same time California was shutting down. Even after New York announced its first coronavirus case on March 1st, the city health department was advising New Yorkers they were more likely to get the flu.
I speak for the mayor also on this one. We think we have the best healthcare system on the planet, Mr. Cuomo said at a March 2nd news conference.
5 days later, Cuomo declared a state of emergency, but medical and emergency response experts worried the city and state administrations still weren't taking matters seriously enough. This thing goes on and on and on and on. All the stories here, Pain in the Morning, are on True Pundit and a Pain in the Morning link if you want to read the whole thing, all the stuff, because I get this stuff highlighted for me. But this is a good read. It's a little long. We've shortened it up here, but it's a little long. But it's definitely, they did a good job on it. As New York lurched into action mid-March, shifting state, city, and hospital policies sometimes put patients and medical staff at risk. Early on, most hospitals told staff to isolate suspected COVID-19 patients in rooms with negative air pressure to limit spread. These people look sick. Put them in the room without air. Yeah. Put them in the Cuomo suite. Yeah, the rooms without air were called the Mario Cuomo wing of the hospital. Put them in the Cuomo wing. Cut the air. Cut the heat, too. Not spending money on these people. But as patients flooded in, hospitals including Maimonides Medical Center, Bellevue in Harlem, and Northwell's Staten Island University Hospital house suspected COVID-19 patients together, sometimes side by side or in the same vicinity as confirmed COVID-19 patients. Healthcare workers said sick patients likely infected some neighbors in the days it took to get test results. What's next? Cuomo had a three-legged... three-legged sack races. Suspected COVID-19 patients were paired with confirmed patients in a three-legged sack race. While these people in the hospitals made TikTok videos. It didn't help that New York City state government and hospital officials, often relying on CDC guidance, kept shifting guidelines about when sick and exposed frontline workers should return to work. Yeah, the CDC basically was like Wheel of Fortune. You spin the wheel and whatever it lands on, they change the thing. The losers end up with the losers end up with coronavirus, a gift certificate, the Botany 500, and a ceramic Dalmatian. Also, there was no plan for thorough staff testing. Initially, the government and hospital officials recommended healthcare workers with high-risk exposures quarantine for 14 days. You know you're in trouble in New York when the people treating you come in with one of those long beaks. Like the doctors had those long leather beaks on during the plague. I'm your doctor today, Dr. Beak. You guys look pretty healthy over here. There's no healthy people allowed in the Cuomo wing. This is an outrage. Then the city on March 17th changed its guidance. See, I told you it's a conspiracy against the Irish. They waited until St. Patrick's Day. Then they said, all right, we infected all the Irish, and now we'll change our guidelines. And on March 17th, they recommended hospitals tell workers they could keep working so long as they didn't show symptoms. Uh-huh. On all days, March 17th, fishy. The city's guidance on testing further confused matters. Do not test asymptomatic and/or exposed workers, read a March 20th city memo to hospitals, citing supply shortages. The state on March 28th said workers who tested positive could return after 7 days. This goes on and on and on. So long as they were fever-free for 72 hours and their symptoms had improved. What happened to 14 days? Now it's 3 days? Hospitals didn't always follow the state's guidelines, sometimes telling ill workers to return early. Oh, that's great. We know you guys are sick, but get your ass in here. We need you.
Okay.
Insane. Let me ask you guys a question, seriously, out there in New York. I've talked to, you know, Jason Goodman and other guys. I know it's hard. I lived in North Jersey, and I worked in North Jersey and spent a lot of time in New York when I was young, when I was just getting married and before I was married. I understand there's like a lure to that area. There's an electricity, there's a vibe. It's good to be in the city and that kind of stuff. But at this point, why are you still in New York? Just a little bit of a question. Why? What are you still doing in New York? There's a whole world out. If you're from New York, there's a whole world outside New York with lower taxes and cleaner air and pretty good chance that if you go to the hospital, you won't be killed. So those are three things I look for when I'm searching for a place to live. New headline, the warlord will see you now. Alt Seattle Chaz, that zone, the chump autonomy zone. That's, I guess it's not called that, but I just nicknamed it the chump zone. The chump extortion zone. They require ID if you want to come into the zone. Where's the song we have for this? These guys, you imagine? Imagine trying to take over part of your city. The cops would bash your head in wherever you are. What's going on out there in Seattle? I think we know what's going on out there in Seattle. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, okay. We'll play a little Stones with this. Never go wrong with some Stones. Police report that armed rebels are now requiring ID to get into Seattle's anarchist utopia known as Chaz. The better to keep out the rabble, the better to keep out the rabble who want an audience with Raz, the new feudal world. What? Who wrote this? Okay, so they're saying that they want to keep out people who want to meet with Raz, the new feudal warlord. Is this Ra's al Ghul from Batman? Wasn't Raz, wasn't that the woman's name in Monsters, Inc., or that was Ra's? You can see it's like Roz is running with a clipboard. Hey, who's out there? Who wants to see the feudal warlord? When he's not performing his warlord duties for Chaz, Raz Simone is a rapper who is fond of gold chains, Che Guevara berets, wife beater shirts, and his AK-47. I can't even say it's so good, but I can't say it. It's for Pain After Dark. We might have to get a Pain After Dark show. It was good. It was fucking, it was right on. Anyway, so he likes his Che Guevara berets, his gold chains, his wife beater shirts, AK-47. This guy's a big hit on the on Bumbler. Oh, I'm sorry, Bumble. This guy's on Bumbler. It's the dating warlord app. Raz the Warlord isn't afraid to inflict the needed beatdown of certain live streamers. What? Raz loves to take people on from behind his keyboard. Raz's serfs, S-E-R-Fs, mean minions, along with the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and anarchist rabble, have now upped their game. Well, what happens? They got jobs? In addition to running protection and extortion rackets, the Black Lives Matter and Antifa rabble have taken up arms and begun to require people coming into their six-block Chaz territory to show ID. Why is everybody in corporate America saying, we support Black Lives Matter? I mean, these people are taking over cities. They're bashing people's heads in with masonry, bricks, cinder blocks, right? These guys graduated from Reginald Denny High School, and they're getting millions and billions of dollars in support. I don't understand it. We support Black Lives Matter. You do? You support this shit? That's nice to know. I remember that when I have to go buy something. You support people getting their heads bashed in over stereotypical nonsense about race that really doesn't exist. It's just fiction. These people make up to make money. And they're cashing in. If you're out there and you're below the poverty line, good luck seeing some of that money, though. Chaz is going to be buying new guns. He's going to be buying new guns, new gold, new bling, and whatever the hell else he was collecting. New berets. This guy's going to look like fucking Prince by the time. Get this sissy some of those little Prince booties too. Chaz. See, this is what I was talking about. This is good. Headline, $454 million. Corporate America floods social justice causes with cash amid Floyd protests. This is like corporate America being scared and pandering. This is corporate pandering. Again, it goes to what I just said about these groups like Black Lives Matter. We support Black Lives Matter. Oh, we're going to get some music for this.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Corporations are opening up their treasuries to give money to social justice causes, including Black Lives Matter, in the wake of nationwide protests and riots over the death of George Floyd. Many of the big companies are pushing their employees to do the same.
Now you guys better dip into your own pockets, too, to support these hoodlums. We don't want any trouble here. You know, glass is expensive. You try building all the rebuilding branches after they get torched.
Some businesses are donating to controversial bail funds like the Minnesota Freedom Fund that seek to bail out protesters and rioters.
These people are in jail for murder and for bashing people's head. Dip into your pockets, please. It's just a small donation. Nothing smaller than a 20. Pass the hat around.
Here's a list so far of these pandering Corporation. Sony Music has created a fund to, quote, to support social justice and anti-racist initiatives around the world. $100 million they kicked in. So much for passing a hat around. Walmart, a new racial equity center, $100 million. Warner Music, campaigns against violence and racism and social justice causes related to the music industry, $100 million. Oh man, look, these guys went, Nike went on the cheap. Organizations that put social justice education and addressing racial inequality in America at the center of their work, $40 million. That's less than what they pay Michael Jordan a year. It's outrageous. Well, I guess I shouldn't be complaining about that. Paying Chinese kids a nickel a day to make their fucking shoes. It's nice to be lectured by companies like Nike. Built on the sweat of slave labor and orphans whose parents committed suicide from working long hours in sweatshops.
Now, we need to address social injustice and racial inequality in America. Not China and Vietnam and Asia, though. Well, we don't want to address it, those issues in that sector, Laurel.
Alphabet and Google. Various organizations starting with $1 million each to Center for Policing Equity and Equal Justice Initiative, $12 million. You cheap pricks. Amazon, American Civil Liberties Union Foundation, Brennan Center for Justice. This is who Amazon's greasing. A whole bunch of places. It's a disgrace. $10 million. Facebook, groups working on racial justice. $10 million. Target, $10 million. Verizon, $10 million. United Health, $10 million. Which is just under what a copay is when you have covered by United Health. It's insane. These people are fucking nuts. Spotify, $10 million. Disney, $5 million. Procter & Gamble, $5 million. It goes on and on and on. Starbucks, Intel, McDonald's. McDonald's is only given $1 million. That's some cheap shit right there. That's the equivalent. McDonald's is giving this whole movement the equivalent of a fucking Happy Meal. That's less than what Grimace makes. Grimace and the Hamburglar made more money than that. This is a disgrace. It goes on and on. There's all kind of companies. It's insane. I could read more. I'm not going to read more. I'm just going to get more upset. Stupid. Nobody's given my rear end any money when I was growing up in tough neighborhoods, socioeconomically challenged neighborhoods, the hood. This money never got to us. White or black or Hispanic, whoever. We never saw that money, and the people that need it the most are not going to see it either. It's all a scam. It's organized crime is what it is. Headline, Biden, military will make sure Trump is removed from the White House if he loses and refuses to leave. Okay. Where's the song? Oh, yeah. I picked this one. That's a good one.
I've always been crazy in the trouble that it's putting me through.
The Waylon Jennings will get you going. I'm a big fan of Waylon. And his story? Big fan. Came up the hard way. Biden told Trevor Noah, host of Comedy Central's The Daily Show, that he fully believes the incumbent president will attempt to steal this election. You have so many rank and file military personnel saying, whoa, We're not a military state. This is not who we are, Biden said. I promise you, I'm absolutely convinced military officers will escort him from the White House with great dispatch if Trump refuses to leave. So Biden's saying if he wins the election, if Biden wins the election, Trump won't leave. Trump might want to leave now. I think Biden's lost his mind again. This president is going to try to steal this election, Biden said. This is the guy who said all mail-in ballots are fraudulent. Voting by mail while he sits behind a desk in the Oval Office and writes his mail-in ballot to vote in the primary. Where's he supposed to sit in the Oval Office? When's the last time Joe was at the polls? We know when he was at the pools. He was looking for corn pop at the pools. Maybe he thought he was supposed to go to the polls that day. He got a little mixed up on his itinerary. We have to be at the polls at 9:30 a.m. and he showed up at the pool. With all the African American kids, he tortured those kids talking about his hairy legs and corn pop. Wait, I got him on here. Wait a minute.
You may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
What? We have to be at the polls at 9:30, not the pool.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
What are we doing at the pool, Joe? Jesus. Nobody cares about your blonde hair under the water.
You may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
Oh, man. School headline: school sicks cops on 11-year-old after seeing a BB gun in his house during virtual lessons. So the guy's on TV, like a virtual lesson, right? And this is what happens. Of course, it's in Maryland. Right? It's in Baltimore, I guess. Is this in Baltimore? It's important to raid the house because there's a BB gun in the house when you live in a war zone. Was this the Beirut section of Baltimore, or was this the Yemen section? Unbelievable. It's war zone.
There's a BB gun. Oh, get this son of a bitch. I've seen this guy's kind before. There was a guy, a kid about his age who fashioned a Pop-Tart out of a pistol. We shut his ass down, too. Swooped in.
We have music for this? I don't see any. Oh, we'll just go with this one again.
Chain, chain, chain.
Chain of fools. A Maryland school official called the police on an 11-year-old boy after the teacher reportedly saw a BB gun in the child's room during the virtual online instruction. Courtney Lancaster, the child's mother, and a Navy veteran. Oh, this is not going to go well for the people involved. Got a Navy woman and a Navy mom. A Navy veteran who is a mom. That's even worse than a Navy mom. She's probably like, you want to see some guns, you son of a bitches? I'll show you guns. She told the station, TV station, that the child is in the process of becoming an Eagle Scout and enrolled in the Baltimore County schools. A big mistake. Unenroll. Move out of that war zone. All kids, all 11-year-olds should know how to work an AK-47 in Baltimore. In third grade, you learn AK-47. Fourth grade, AR-15. Just to get to school. Kids who leave the school bus have to lay down a line of smoke just to get into the school. Did you pack your lunch today, honey? Don't forget your smoke grenades. Two to get to school, two to get home. Jesus. An officer explained to me that he was here to search the house for weapons in my home, Lancaster said. The child has reportedly taken a variety of lessons related to outdoor sportsmanship, including archery lessons. The cops show up, the kid's in the bedroom like Robin Hood. He's got the bow. He's got the bow loaded up. Don't, you sons of bitches. My scoutmaster told me this day would come. Hopefully the guy's not taking lessons from Ted Nugent with flaming arrows. Lancaster said that a school official phoned authorities because they were concerned over seeing a BB gun mounted on the child's wall. The teacher reportedly took a screenshot of the child's room and passed it along to the school's resource officer, who turned the information over to local authorities. Rat squad! Fucking rats! Don't come crying to me when your teacher pension collapses, you fucking rat. The kid's in his own home. These teachers can't stop guns in schools in Baltimore. So this is like they're trying to make up for it. It's compensation. Lancaster told WBFF that the school's principal complained that the child having a BB gun in his room was like bringing a gun to school. See, I knew where this fucking these liberals are going to go right there. Yeah. No, it's not. Because like I said, you're actually to get to school. I think you're in Baltimore. You're allowed to carry a gun in the streets. A BB gun would not probably be get you to school safely. Would not get you to school safely. She also said that she's not happy that a teacher took a screenshot of her son in her home. What do you think? These people are rats. If you're going to do homeschool and you're going to do this stuff over Zoom, get a green screen with, if you're in Baltimore, get a green screen and get online. You could pay $10 a month and they'll give you all different kind of backgrounds you can use. Pick Beirut. Pick Beirut. The choices for Baltimore schools so you don't get in trouble are Beirut. You can pick 1968 Democratic National Convention. You can pick the new one is Minneapolis riots. You can have that going on in the background or you know what you do? You just get a, like a burlap sack, put it behind you, make it look like a cave. your kids basically are hostages. Be like, like a hostage video that they send for proof of life. That's what you need in the Baltimore school district. It's absolutely scary to think about, Lancaster admitted. We are on these calls. And who are on these calls? Who do we have viewing your children and subsequently taking these screenshots that can be sent anywhere or used for any purpose? Some of those saucy teachers are probably, you know, sending them around saying, hey, look at this kid. All these teachers who get busted sleeping with their students, you never know. Lancaster also said that she takes issue with the fact that no one at the school contacted her before sending the police to her home. Rat squad. Fucking rats. So what are the parameters? Where are the lines drawn? If my son is sitting at the kitchen island next to a butcher block, does that constitute a weapon? It's not allowed at school, right? So would my home then be searched because he's sitting next to a butcher block? Lancaster reasoned, I feel like parents need to be made aware of what the implications are. Yeah. This is the new thing, they kick your door in now. If you really want the cops to kick your door in with these, or you really want to send these school administrators over the edge, put a copy of the Constitution in the background. SWAT team coming your way. SWAT team. Oh, man. This is insane. These people are fucked up, obviously. Remember that, guys. You know what? I do this as a matter of recourse. I've talk to my relatives about this stuff. I said, make sure you just have plain backgrounds, nothing going on in the background. Don't let the kids film in the basement where the still is.
I think that's a still. Son of a bitch. Let me take a screenshot of that. We'll fix these sons of bitches. I think they're going to make my untaxed liquor. Governor Wolf is going to have something to say about that. Screenshot. This is bullshit.
Keep the backgrounds plain Jane, unless you get those background things where you can have fun with them, right? The background make it look like their kid's on a roller coaster. Oh, man. Or you know what is even better? Just go audio. Why do you have to look at these dopey teachers anyhow?
You didn't log on so you could see me.
Just send me an audio tape of it for fuck's sake. Okay? How's U.S. history different? The last 5 years I've been taking U.S. history and it all stops at 1970. Send me a goddamn audio tape, will you? You know what it is, too? I'll tell you what's going on because both of my kids were homeschooled at some points of their career. One, when my son went away and played juniors at a young age, hockey. He left school at seventh grade, eighth grade. He went to Canada in eighth grade, Western Canada. He was recruited and he was gone, 14 years old, going to school and playing hockey and training. And then when he played juniors, he left high school, came back home. He left high school. He was doing online. He said, Dad, doing homeschool. He said, Dad, I can finish my schoolwork in like 2 hours a day, 2 or 3 hours a day. I don't have to sit there for 8 hours, go to all the classes, and then do the homework. It's like, I'm done in like 3 hours. Cover all the coursework, buckle down, focus, 2, 3, 4 hours, top, a day. That's what these teachers, they don't want. Because that's the end of their asses. Where you have to traipse back and forth to class all day long and play grab ass and listen to these liberals indoctrinate your kids. Funny thing about lockdowns and things like that, you find out what's really important and what's not. There's teachers out there, they fucking know. The word's out on the street. Hey, why are we sending our kid? Why are we paying this tax money for these dopes? In these buildings. We don't need this. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. Good. Hour and 3 minutes. Good way to wrap up on a Friday. It's been talking to roller coasters. It's been a roller coaster of a week here. We appreciate your support. Goes a long way. On patreon.com/truepundit. And subscribestar.com/truepundit. Log on there and get all kind of extra stuff, including the playlist. Also, you'll notice on the playlist, there's some songs that haven't been played that I was considering or haven't gotten to or I was on the fence. So it's a couple on there, at least one or two on there tonight. We'll try to work those in later. So our Wednesday podcast, which was Thomas Paine Podcast number 27 was a blockbuster, is a blockbuster, and continues to stay and go and went viral. So that's good with Mr. Moynihan and Mr. Doyle. So you want to check that out. You can't even put it into words. This is like a bomb. It was like a nuclear bomb and being treated accordingly by people who want to become enlightened. With news you can't get anywhere else. So we appreciate the fact that that was another exclusive and we are having fun here. And again, I extend my gratitude to those folks. Two Irish gentlemen. And that helped make a tough week much better. And it was much needed. So thanks a lot. We will see you on the next Pain in the Morning, and I hope you enjoyed it. And again, I appreciate the support this week from our subscribers and the notes on Twitter and all over the place, and it means a lot. And we'll talk about these things at a later date. Have a good weekend. Try to get out and get some sunshine. and clear your head, and God bless you. Take care.
Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Oh, I wish I was in Dixie. Away, away, in Dixieland I'll take my stand to live and die. For Dixieland, it's where I was born. Early Lord, one frosty morn, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Trials, Lord, soon be over.